The book of Psalms, and we're going to start in the book of Psalms, chapter number 50 this morning. I was cutting grass yesterday, and I was had on my heart, and I was praying and thinking, Lord, what do you want me to preach tomorrow? And I really hadn't sat down to study, didn't know what I was going to preach on. And right away, the Lord told me exactly what he wanted to preach on. I couldn't wait to get done and get some things written down. And so, because, you know, if you don't, sometimes you don't get things written down quick, boy, they can escape you in a hurry. And I was praying, and the Lord said, here's what I want you to preach on. And I said, well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Psalms 50, if you found it, say amen, and we know you're there. Psalms 50, right in the middle of your Bible. Psalms 50, in verse number 1, the Bible says this, the mighty God, even the Lord hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be a very tempestuous round about him. He shall call the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by my sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. Hear, O Lord, hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am thy God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or for thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Now we're going to take our text out of verse 15. Now, turn over to Psalms 86. We're going to go there in a minute. But Psalms 50 in verse 15, he says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. And what I want to preach on this morning, the Lord gave me this thought, is 911, what's your emergency? 911, what's your emergency? Yesterday was 911. And the anniversary of the attacks on the Twin Towers. And as I thought about this morning, I'm glad that we can dial 911 and get a hold of God. 911. And God says, what's your emergency? Let's pray and ask for God's blessings. Father, I pray you bless the word this morning. And God, as our nation celebrated 911, or not celebrated, that's the wrong word, remembered it and memorialized it. Lord, the death of all those people that died in the Twin Towers, and Lord, the attacks at the Pentagon, and Flight 93 that went into that field in Pennsylvania, and the lives that were lost on that day, and the lives that have been subsequently lost because of the illnesses and the sicknesses that occurred at Ground Zero, and the lives that were lost in Afghanistan and Iraq and around the world and the war on terror. And God, the thousands and thousands that have lost their lives, and the millions that have been impacted by the results of that day. And God, 911 was a real thing that happened, Lord, in America, and it has changed the world and affected the world. And God, as people call 911 every day, and they hear the dispatcher say, 911, what is your emergency? God, I'm glad that we can call 911 every day. And God, you always pick up the line. There's never been a time when you weren't there. And I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts this morning and bless the word and help me to bring it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen this morning. If you're in Psalms chapter number 86, in Psalms 50 and verse 15, the Lord declared, he said, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But the answer to that is in Psalms 86. And in verse number 1, Psalms 86, verse 1, it says, bow thine ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer. Attend to the voice of my supplications. Now, verse 7. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. You know, and you think about this, in life there are many emergencies, are there not? And I can imagine on September 11, 2001, when that first 911 call was made because a plane crashed into the first tower. And no doubt the dispatcher asked the question, 911, what's your emergency? And they said a plane has hit the Twin Towers in Manhattan and the building's on fire. And that was the beginning of what would unfold on the 9/11 attacks. I watched a thing of as George Bush, they had the video of it as he was told, he'd been told about the first plane going into the tower. And I listened to Condoleezza Rice's, the Secretary of State, I listened to her interview yesterday and the things that she had to say. And she said when that first plane went into the tower, they thought it was an accident. When the second plane went into the tower, that they knew that our country was under attack. And the message was given then to President Bush, and they whispered in his ear, and they said, sir, America's under attack. There's been a second plane going to the towers. And then the scramble that began to take place, and they said the only safe place for the president would be in the air. And they got Air Force One in the air, and then they commanded every plane to land immediately at the nearest airport. And President Bush gave the order to shoot down any airliner that did not respond to a radio call. And it was a real emergency that day that began in this nation. The one lady who gave her life and died at the Pentagon as she relayed to her husband what was happening as the terrorists had moved everybody to the back of the plane. They had killed some of the stewardess with their box cutters, and she knew that the plane was going to be used as a missile and that she was going to die. And then those heroic passengers who had gotten the message and heard the news on Flight 93, and they determined that that plane would not be used to kill people at the Capitol. And their last words were, let's go, or something like that. Let's roll, let's roll. And they took back the plane, and it crashed into the field in Pennsylvania. And it turned into a national emergency because it was a terrorist attack. And there are national emergencies that affect the whole nation and affect the whole world. What happened that day affected the whole world. And it was an emergency. But you know, there's natural emergencies that can affect the whole world. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but the Ring of Fire and all these volcanoes that are erupting every place all over the world. Earthquakes that are happening all over the world. And then the severe weather that's happening all over the world and here in America. We just had the hurricanes and the storms and the things that affected Louisiana and Mississippi and even in New York and New Jersey where people drowned in their basement apartments. He said, it's a hurricane. And it's over. It affected Mississippi. It affected Louisiana. And then as it rolled into New York and the rivers flooded, and Queens was flooded, if you saw the pictures of the baseball stadium, well, the baseball stadium filled with water. And the deaths that ensued because of the flooding that was a natural emergency. Now, we know all these things are the tip of the iceberg because Christ said there would be earthquakes in diverse places. And there's going to be a lot of natural emergencies that are coming that are going to turn into national emergencies. And then there's those nefarious emergencies that are happening. You say, what is that? Crime? Crime? Yeah. They said, and I'm glad we don't live in Minneapolis. I'm glad we don't live in Minnesota. They said, we are no longer going to be prosecuting certain felonies. Now, you know what that's going to do to people, right? 911, all you criminals move to Minneapolis. You got a license to do anything you want. And they're going to be terrorized in their communities with crime. Just like the world is being terrorized by what China did with COVID-19. Is COVID-19 not terrorizing the world? And we know that that did not come from a bat. That came from a laboratory. And that was gain of function. And they finally had to admit it this week that they were testing COVID-19 and trying to make it deadly. And boy, did they succeed. And then there's those neglectful emergencies. When people don't prepare for the coming nightmare. Can I tell you a lot of emergencies come simply out of neglect? Because we don't consider and do something about it when it's happening. You know, I can hear the dispatchers when they say, and boy, the calls, the 911 calls that come in, and now the 911 calls that go unanswered. 911, what's your emergency? Sorry, we can't send anybody. A police station in Missouri this week, the sheriff resigned and all of his deputies resigned. And their town has no policemen in it now. What happens when the call comes in? 911, what's your emergency? Sorry. We don't have anybody. We can't send anybody. You know, I'm glad when I call heaven and it's an emergency that there's someone on the other end of the line. I'm glad in Psalms chapter 50 and verse number 15, he said, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. I mean, you say, what is the Christian's 911, Jeremiah 33:3? If you don't have that memorized, you should memorize it. It says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Many times when I go to the Lord in prayer, I claim that verse. I say, Lord, your promise in Jeremiah 33:3 is call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The police can't always save you. The firemen can't always save you. The emergency worker can't save you. But I can tell you who can save you? God can save you. God can save you when no one else can. And that's why the psalmist said in Psalms 86:7, he said, I will call on you in the day of trouble, for thou art able to deliver me. You know, when you think about Psalms 50:15, and you know, there's three little simple things this morning that we need to understand. And when it comes to dialing 911, Jeremiah 33:3, let me tell you, you got to know when to call 911. You say, when do you call? In times of trouble. Devastation, disaster, danger, disease, destruction, death, and doubt. This morning when Sarah went to the hospital, what do you think we were doing? We were dialing 911 to God's throne in heaven. She called in tears. The pain was excruciating. And said, I can't stand it. I got to get some help. Let me tell you. You say, first thing we did was we prayed. Because only God can solve this problem. I assure you that she even went to the hospital in an ambulance, they still wouldn't have known what to do. But God knows exactly what to do. When I went to bed last night, I prayed. I said, Lord, you are a revealer of secrets. And you can reveal what my daughter has. And God, I pray that you'd reveal what it is that's causing the problem. See, you got to know when to call. God wants us to call upon him, and that's where we make our mistake. Hey, calling upon God. You know, any time is a good time to call to have a little talk with Jesus. Can I tell you that? Amen. But how much more in the day of trouble? You say, why? Because God is a person. God is a person. He's a mediator. He's the one who makes peace. Thank God we can call upon God in the hour of our need. 1 Timothy 2:5 says there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Someone come by the other day, yesterday, and the son asked, he said, Dad, what's a pastor? And he said, well, a pastor is a bridge between man and God. And I thought to myself, a pastor's not a bridge between man and God. The bridge between man and God is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. A pastor is one who oversees the flock. Hallelujah. Takes care of the sheep. Amen. There's only one mediator between God and man, and it is the man, Christ Jesus. You can come to me with some great problem, but I can tell you right now, I can't solve it. Because I'm not the mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus is. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 6, thank God we got a person. When we call 911, we get a person. I can imagine what it's going to be in the future. Eventually, it's going to be a robocall. You know, the computer talking to you. And I'm thinking, my goodness, you ever call and you get the computer instead of someone you're trying to talk to? I cannot stand to call somebody. It's a service call. You're calling to get help, and you got to talk to the stinking computer. You know, the artificial intelligence. And I'm dialing zero. I'm punching. When can I talk to a person, for God's sake? I don't want to talk to the computer. I'm glad God's never given me artificial intelligence when I call Him. I found artificial intelligence to be as dumb as the person who programmed it. Isn't that a fact? Hebrews 8 and verse number 6 says, but now He obtained a more excellent ministry by much also. He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Jesus Christ, hallelujah, is the mediator of the new covenant, the mediator of the New Testament. In chapter 9, verse 14 and 15, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Amen. Thank God we got a person. And when we call, we get a person on the other end of the line. Look in chapter 12 and in verse number 22. Hebrews 12 and in verse number 22. And Paul went on to say, he said, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, at the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Aren't you glad this morning that we have a person? Hey, we can call in the time of trouble, and we got a person, and it's Jesus Christ. But not just a person, we got a priest. You say, why is that important? Because He's our intercessor. What did priests do in the Old Testament? They offered a sacrifice, an intercession for the people. And Hebrews chapter number 4, you're right there. Hebrews 4 and in verse number 13, it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. Amen. When I dial 911, when I say Jeremiah 33:3, when I call unto God, He sees me where I am. And it says, but all things are naked and open on the eyes of Him with whom we have to do, seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed into heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Thank God we got a priest. And the Bible says that He lives to make intercession for us. He's praying for us. Hebrews 7, and in verse number 22, it says, "By so much was Jesus made a surety, a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he hath continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." You say, what God doing? He's continually praying for me. He's continually making intercession for me. You know, we tell people and we'll pray for them, and sometimes we pray for them once or twice. And that's the end of it. Aren't you glad that God continually is praying for you and I? Thank God when I dial 911, he takes the emergency seriously. He cares about what my emergency is. He cares about us. Thank God that he does. Look in Luke chapter number 22. Peter's a prime example that God's praying for us. God knows what your weaknesses are. And God knows the things that you're prone to do in your life that are wrong. And God knows when you're having a struggle in your life. You know, sometimes you can look at people and know that they're having a struggle. And, you know, God is always looking at us, and he sees when we're going through something. He sees when it's becoming unbearable. He sees when we're about to fall. And in Luke 22, God saw Peter, and he knew that he was going to deny him. He knew that he was going to be ashamed. He knew that he'd be filled with guilt. And in Luke 22, and in verse number 31, as this event's about to play out in the garden, the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Not if he was converted. He said, when you're converted. God knew Peter was going to come out on the other side of this thing. And that's why when he rose from the grave, he told those ladies, he told Mary and the other Mary, he said, "Hey, go tell my disciples and Peter that I have risen from the dead." He knew Peter was wrapped up in guilt and shame for the sin that he had committed against God in denying him three times. Hey, God knows when I'm going to do something wrong. It didn't take him by surprise. He was praying for me the whole time. Aren't you glad he was praying for Peter? I'm glad he was praying for me. Peter's warming his hands at the fire. Jesus knows what he's doing. And Jesus comes at the very moment when he's cussing and swearing and denying that he doesn't even know Jesus. And Jesus looks right at him, and Peter's eyes meet his. And Peter hangs his head in shame. And he runs out and weeps bitterly. Jesus said, "It's okay, Peter." When Jesus looked at him, he was telling him, "It's okay, Peter, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, brother. I'm praying for you, sister. I know you got some problems. I know you got some shortcomings. I know you got some things in your life ain't right, but I'm praying for you." Hey, we call on the day of trouble because we got a person to call. Thank God we got a priest to call. Thank God we got a physician to call. Don't most insurance give you video chats with physicians nowadays? But most of the time, they're for physicians of no value. You know, it's hard to diagnose someone over the video chat. I can imagine how many people have died and had terrible sicknesses, and you name it, because the physician couldn't see what was actually happening. We were in Florida a year ago, and Lucy had come down with this thing, and she was broke out, and the doctor said, "Oh, it's nothing, it's nothing, it's nothing, nothing." It was a big something. It was a whole big something. And she had to have antibiotics to clear it up. But the problem was, the doctor couldn't see it over the video chat. I'm glad God can see it. The Bible says God came not to call the righteous, but sinners on repentance. Why? Because they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And Jesus Christ is the great physician. He's our healer. And he can heal our diseases. Look in Psalms 103. Psalms 103. God can do things that no one else can do. I always think about Stephen. Miss Judy's here this morning. And how God took his terminal brain cancer away. I mean, the doctor said, you got terminal brain cancer. It's inoperable. The tumor's huge. Set your house in order. You're going to die any day now. Miss Judy, how many years has that been ago? It's been 11 years ago. And they said, set your house in order. You're not even going to live a few months. Hallelujah. And the great physician saw that. He said, I can take care of that. I mean, hallelujah. All God has to do is speak the word. And he went back for his next treatment. And the doctor said, well, we need to do a brain scan. They did one. And he says, well, it was there and now it's not. It's a miracle. That's all the doctor could say. It's a miracle. And it was. Because the great physician had stepped in. Psalms 103, verse 1, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that was within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases. Can I tell you right now, the amount of times I've heard the doctor say, only God can help you now. I have been there in the hospital and I have heard the doctor say, only God can solve your problem. Well, I knew that all along. I knew that all along, only God could solve the problem. See, you got to know when to call. When to call. You got to know who to call. And it's not Ghostbusters. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? No. I'm amazed when people, they pray to every wrong thing in the world. Kids pray to Santa Claus. What's he going to do for you? Well, I'm going to pray to Ram and Lechery and Mahadeo. What are they going to do for you? I'm going to pray to Fat Buddha. What's he going to do for you? I'm going to go outside and pray to that tree. Really? What's it going to do for you? You got to know when to call, and you got to know who to call. And that's Jesus Christ. Praying's not enough. You say, what do you mean by that? Hey, you got to know who you're praying to. On Mars Hill in Athens, they prayed to everything they could possibly pray to. The Hindus have a billion gods, but how is it helping them? If you're praying to dumb idols, or you're praying to devils, how's it going to help you? You got to know who to call. And that's God. You say, why? Because we have his promise. See, the world doesn't have, the devil doesn't offer a promise. What promises are there in the Bhagavad Gita, the Hindu holy book? What promises are there in the book of the Quran? I got one on my shelf. Show me the promises in the book of the Quran. Show me the promises in the Book of Mormon. Show me the promises in all these false translations of the Bible. Show me the promises. Hey, we got a promise when we come together and call upon God. Will you look at me in Matthew chapter number 18? When Jeremiah proclaimed, call unto me and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let me tell you, that is a great promise. And it's a promise that we can claim. Thank God. Matthew 18 and in verse number 18, the Bible says, Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You talk about a great promise. We've seen God do great miracles as we gathered in prayer at this altar. You say, why? Because Jesus was in the midst. Jesus was in the midst. And when Jesus is in the midst, things are going to happen. I mean, there's nothing like having Jesus in the house. I mean, when Jesus, when it was noised abroad in Luke chapter number or Mark chapter number 2, when Jesus was in the house, all the multitude came by, and all that were sick and lame and blind. Why? Because they heard Jesus was in the house. We have some great promises as a child of God. And hallelujah, when we dial 911, Jeremiah 33:3, we can count on God's promise. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7, I'm glad when I pray, I know that God is hearing me. When I come boldly to the throne of grace, I know that God has let me come into the throne room. When I pray and ask God, I know that He hears my petition. He says in Matthew 7:7, He says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened." It shall be opened. Thank God for the promise we have when you know who to call upon. Muhammad has never done anything for anybody. Confucius has never done anything for anybody. All the false gods that these people pray to and that the world prays to, they pray to the saints. I mean, let me tell you, you could pray to me all you want, but your prayers are going to go unanswered. You got to know who to pray to. People pray to the government. Are you kidding me? We won't leave you behind. Tell those people in Afghanistan. We got your back. Tell those people in Afghanistan. Tell them people in Cuba at the Bay of Pigs. Hey, tell them people over there in the Ukraine where Russia came in and took what they wanted. Oh, we got your back. Hey, tell those people in Georgia. Yeah, give us your nuclear weapons. We'll defend you from Russia. Hey, tell all the world. You can't count on the government. We can count on God. You better know who to call. Because we have God's promise. We got God's presence. Matthew 28:20 says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper." Joshua 1:5, God proclaimed to Joshua, "I will not leave thee nor forsake thee." Psalms 46:1, well, it says, "I am a very present help in the time of trouble." You know what present means? That means He's there. He's there. And that's why in Mark 2, when Jesus was in the house, thank God, they said, if Jesus is in the house, that's where we need to be. And they broke up the roof and they let the man down with the four ropes. And Jesus healed him of his sickness and his disease. You say, what's the answer? You got to get to Jesus. You know what the problem with people that have problem with drugs and alcohol and all these problems? They got to get to Jesus. They got to get to Jesus. Because only Jesus can solve their problem. No matter what your problem this morning is, you got to get that thing to Jesus. Aren't you glad? "And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as He tarry there, none other has ever known." Can I tell you, in my lowest hours of my life, it was Jesus that stood by me. It was Jesus that held my hand. It was Jesus that carried me through the trial. There is nothing like, quite like the promise of God and the presence of God. Thank God we have the power of God. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me, and in heaven and earth." There is nothing that God can't do. He can change lives. He can cleanse sinners. He can call people into His service. And God can make people do even what they don't want to do. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? God can give you favor in people's eyes that you should not have any favor. When Corrie ten Boom was supposed to be executed by in that prison camp, that Nazi prison camp, God gave her favor. God made that person sign the wrong order, and she was set free the very week she was supposed to be executed. You say, why? Because if God be for you, who can be against you? God has power. God can move mountains. God can change times. God can do anything. And that's why He says God is more great. God is greater than Satan. He's more greater than the situations of life. He's more greater than our circumstances. And He can solve any problem. You got to give Him the problem. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." You got to know when to call, and you got to know who to call. You got to know why to call. Can I tell you, when you call God, you better be serious. God doesn't suffer fools. You better be serious when you're talking to God. I think about all these people who make these promises to God, and they're not the least bit serious. I told the one dear brother, I said, next time I'm going to pray that God allows what's happening to you to happen. Because you're always making these promises, and when God shows Himself real, you do something else. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's been a rash of bogus 911 calls. 911, what's your emergency? Well, my pizza got here late. You said you're kidding me. No, I'm not. I can play them for you. I got them on my phone. 911, what's your emergency? McDonald's out of Chick McNuggets. 911, what's your emergency? Hey, Burger King doesn't have any lemonade. 911, what's your emergency? I need a lift to the liquor store. The police came by and gave him a lift to the jailhouse. One stupid idiot called up and said, "Hey, I need a date." And they said, "You got it. Your court date is so-and-so." You got a date with a judge. There's a reason to call unto God. And one of the most important reasons to call unto God is for salvation. For forgiveness of sins. What saith thee? The word is nigh thee in thy mouth, in thy heart. The word of faith we preach, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whoso shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We need to be calling out to God for salvation. Don't you know when Peter was drowning and he was sinking, after he walked on the water, he knew what to say. He knew who to call. He knew when to call. He said, "Lord, save me!" And God saved him. Immediately, God saved him. Now, if that had been you and me, we might have let him go under a few times. Right? But immediately, the Lord saved him. Because Peter was serious. God knows when you're serious or not. And when you call 911, you better be serious. Don't you know that rich man in hell was calling every day? But it's too late for him. When you get to hell, you can 9-9-9-9-1-1 all you want, but ain't nobody going to be on the other end. God's going to say, you had your chance. And now it's over. It's better to call sooner than later. This world's having a spiritual crisis. And they need to be calling sooner than later. We call out for salvation. We call out for direction and guidance. You know, I love the 23rd Psalm. And most of you, if not know it, you're at least familiar with it. We read it all the time at the cemetery. The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and my staff, they comfort me. I'm glad that God can give me grace, guidance, and direction when I call upon him. You say, I don't know what to do. Dial 911. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Call on him for provision and protection. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Does God know what you need? God knows exactly what you need. He knows what you need and when you need it. Philippians chapter number 4. And I know these verses, but I've been up. I got up very early this morning. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse number 6. Philippians 4 and in verse number 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. You got to know when to call, who to call, and why to call. Sad thing is, so many are unwilling to call. 911, what's your emergency? What's your emergency? Can I tell you? You better bring that thing to Jesus Christ. You better be relying upon him. You better be listening to what he's saying. You know, I love people call, go to the doctor, and the doctor will tell them, this is what's wrong with you, and this is what you need to do. And here's the medicine you need to take. And then they go home and flush all the medicine down the toilet and don't listen to one thing the doctor said. Well, why did you go to the doctor? Well, he didn't tell me what I wanted to hear. Isn't that exactly what people do to God? Well, Lord, what should I do? And the Lord says, this is what I want you to do. Oh, that's not what I want to do. That's not what I want to hear. That can't be right. People come to me for advice. I'll hear from God, and I will hear from God a message directly from heaven, and I will tell them, this is what God told me to tell you. And I say, that can't be right. Hey, God tries to speak to us, does he not? But you got to hear what God's saying. I'm glad God's not like these 911 dispatchers who are crazy sometimes on the other end. I've listened to a lot of these 911 dispatchers who don't even begin to know what to tell people. And the dumbest questions they ask when someone's dying in their arms. How about you get me some help immediately? They just fired a 911 dispatcher for the same kind of foolishness I'm talking about. And they may be facing criminal charges because they didn't know how to handle the emergency. I'll tell you right now, God knows how to handle your emergency. And God, since He sees the from the end to the beginning, He knows exactly what's happening. What's your emergency? Let's stand for prayer. You know what Jesus said? He said, "This is a faithless generation." A faithless generation. Children in whom is no faith. You say, what's that mean? They don't even know how to dial Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will answer thee. They don't know how to do it. They don't know when to do it. They don't know who to call upon. A lady told me, says, "Brother Chris, I'm just so lost. I'm just so lost." And I thought to myself, that is so sad. Because God is so close and so willing. But you got to pick up the phone. You got to dial His number. You got to say, "Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Lord, give me your grace. I'm just so lost, Brother Chris. I don't know what to do." Can I tell you, that's sad. That's sad. Call upon Him and see if He won't do great and mighty things that are past finding out. Father, I pray you bless the word this morning. And I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to all of our hearts. And that we'd be able to pick the phone up and dial 911. And God, we know that you'll be on the other end. You said call, and the psalmist said, "Lord, I will call. I will call. I'll call upon thee in the day of trouble, for thou wilt hear me." Lord, help us. Help us to dial the 911 and find the grace and help that we're seeking. Please bless the invitation. Do what you will. Speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Head bowed, eyes closed. God.